Well, Alan Blinder joins us now from Princeton, New Jersey, where he now teaches economics. Professor Blinder is a former vice chair of the Federal Reserve Board. Thank you very much for joining us.
Glad to be here
today. And tell me, if you were sitting at the Fed now, would you be measuring the success of this interest rate reduction by just looking at the Dow Jones and the S&P? And if they go up on Friday, then it's a successful move?
No, definitely not, although that's an indicator of success. I'd be looking more, and I'm sure the Fed is looking more, of indicators that don't get so much publicity of what's going on in credit markets. Are good credits able to get placed and financed? Is the commercial paper market looking more normal than it did yesterday, and so on?
By when would you know if you'd succeeded? By 5 o'clock this afternoon or sometime next year?
Well, I think it's sometime next week, maybe. I'd say day one looks good. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure in Washington they're thinking that day one looks good. But, you know, you got a weekend coming. Markets are closed, sort of. Mm-hmm. Things can happen over weekends. And, you know, there are a lot of nervous people out there around the world, by the way. It doesn't just have to happen in America. So there's lots that could still happen that wouldn't make the Fed very happy.
How should the Fed react to the sentiment we heard expressed by some of the people Jim Zeroli talked to today, which is it's a sort of anticipated, what have you done for me lately response, which is, sure, this is good for today, but what happens when we have another bad week on Wall Street?
That's exactly right. And I think that may be one reason that they did what they did instead of the normal thing. So what I mean by that is they cut this discount rate, the borrowing rate that banks pay when they borrow from the Fed, rather than the federal funds rate, which is the one that gets most of the attention and which is the main tool of monetary policy. They sort of left that bigger piece of artillery in the garage in case they need it. So and I think they're thinking that exactly as you said.
Because there's only there's a limited number of arrows in the quiver here, and they've got to pace themselves.
That's right. Unfortunately, they have more than one instrument to use, and they're demonstrating that today.
I want to ask you a broader question about what's happening now, the ramifications of the subprime mortgage crisis. To make this crisis, it took mortgage borrowers who borrowed irresponsibly, lenders who lent irresponsibly, investors who invested in instruments irresponsibly. How does the Fed, or for that matter, the government generally, avert a crisis without rewarding people for economic behavior that is not praiseworthy?
Yep, that's exactly the hard part. I think the answer, and it's not a first of all, there's no perfect answer. Mm-hmm. So to some extent, you do that a little bit. But what you want to make sure that you don't do is underwrite in any way what should be the losses of the parties that made foolish investments. So you don't, for example, want to go in and try to stabilize the prices of securities based on subprime mortgages. That would be exactly the wrong thing to do. And you let the people that bought those securities, that created them and then bought the securities, off the hook. What the Fed's greater concern is that the shenanigans that went on in the subprime market not spread as they started to do in the last week to markets that had nothing to do with that, and in the process start dragging down the economy. That's what prompts the Fed to move.
And that seems to be the other big question right now, which is, are other sectors of the economy healthy enough that if this problem in subprime mortgages can be contained a bit, they'll continue to grow? Or indeed, are there signs of real weakness here?
Yeah, I would say there aren't signs yet outside of a few areas, housing being a particularly obvious one. But there's sufficient worry that if and as credit conditions deteriorate, borrowing being a major fuel for the economy, the ramifications for the overall economy could turn quite negative. That's what the Fed meant by saying it now sees downside risks that have increased appreciably. That's a big word, by the way, for a central bank. Mm-hmm. You and I wouldn't think that's such a purple word.
No.
But if you're a central banker, that's a big deal.
Appreciably.
Appreciably. That means a lot.
So the Fed was taking not the biggest step it could possibly take, but a meaningful step in response to what it now sees as a pretty big deal.
Yes, and it's capable of taking a bigger step, and it's said that it's thinking about, you know, it's watching the situation and will take a bigger step if need be.
Well, Alan Blinder, thanks for talking with us about it.
You're more than welcome.
Alan Blinder of Princeton, former vice chair of the Federal Reserve Board.